Yeah, so I saw this picture of the whole congregation marching like an army in these beautiful straight lines, like this huge block. And we were all marching, and then someone fell. I don't know, no one specific, just a person fell. And they really felt like, oh, they're going to march without me. Like, this is it. I'm done. I'm just going to lie here and quit, in a sense. And I really, and I saw some people just turning around and coming back, helping this person up, saying, look, we got you. Helping them getting back into the rhythm of the marching, like, going, this is how we do it. Let's go. Encouraging them. And then I saw a second picture of us building a, I don't know if it was a house, but we were building something with bricks, the congregation. And as we were building this, there was another person feeling like, I'm struggling, like my hands are getting tired, I can't do this. And we just came around that person, the whole congregation, and we helped them. We're like, no, but let's help you take the cement and do it. Like, let's take the brick and just put it here. And I just felt with that, like, the Lord is really calling you into more. And that you're safe in his hands. Like, he's not going to leave you when you fall. Like, this body loves you, and the body won't leave you when you fall.
Sorry. So just listening to that word, and also while we were worshiping, I also had a beautiful picture of, I think this is what the Lord wants to do in us, and he's encouraging us into, but there's something that leads us to do that. And I had this beautiful picture of a father. You know, when you, I'm a father of two beautiful little girls, they're not here tonight, unfortunately, but you know, when our children have these moments of like when they pull away and they start crying and they're downcast and weary and tired and tears come, right? And I have this picture often. I often lift my little girls by the chin. I just go, approach them. I extend my hand towards them and I lift their gaze to me and I look into their eyes and I tell them how much I love them. And then they know it's all going to be all right. And they often, little Ellie is so cute. She just falls into my arms. And she's like, she bursts into tears, but she knows that I'm there. And I had this picture of God doing that with us. He's a good father. And he, when we're in these moments, like when we're looking at that bucket and we're stuck in that wilderness season, we consumed with our situation, consumed with the world and the things that are going on around us, he reaches into that situation and he goes, look up. Look up. He grabs us by the chin and he goes, look into my eyes. And as we behold his grace and his mercy towards us and everything he's done for us, this beautiful Father who's in heaven that loves us, it transforms our heart and enables us to do that which Jess was just talking about. When one of us stumbles, we're able to get around that person because we've seen him, the nature of him come through. It's coming through us, actually. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that is kind of how this how the scriptures work. That's how the Lord works. That's how his spirit works. He shows us and then we do. As we behold him. And I think that's the most important thing for us, never to forget. Who are we looking at? We've got to keep our eyes on him. We know he's good. We've got to keep reminding each other how good he is. And we've got to keep looking at him. Because life gets tough. I'm not going to tell you about that. But what a privilege it is just to be able to share with you guys tonight for the last time for a while. What I feel the Lord has placed on my heart. And I love what Jess shared now because it's kind of that. And I want to leave you with that over the next season because if it's the last thing I can say to you guys for the next while, this would be it. Like John, you know that story about, I've told you a number of times, old John the Apostle, he was in the church in Ephesus and they used to wake him up, you know, this old John the Apostle, and he like kind of stood up, or not, I don't think he could stand anymore. He would sit on his mat and he would like, and they was like, John, what do you want to tell us? What do you got to say to us? And he would say, love one another. That's all he said. It's like, John, just tell us something else. He goes, this is it. Love one another. And I feel like just for this next season for you guys, what I want to share with you is for you guys just to carry into the next season. All right. So I want to maybe start by telling you a story. My poor brother has been involved in a couple of stories of late. I don't have any of these stories, so I pull his stories into mine. So for those of you who don't know, I've got a brother. He's 10 years older than me. I turned 40 in 2 weeks, and he turns 50. Also in 2 or 3, he's 6 days older, or 10 years and 6 days older than me. Anyway, my dear brother. So I phoned him this week and I said, hey, remember this story? And I just pulled a couple of details out of him and just refreshed my mind. But my brother loves hunting, well, doesn't like hunting so much, but he loves the bush. He was a game ranger and he really enjoys spending time in the bush. And he's got a good friend of his who has a farm in Mossel Bay. Well, not in Mossel Bay, it's in the Carletsdorp area. And when he was living in Mossel Bay, he would go with his friend occasionally to the farm and he would either go hunt or whatever. And the one day, I think they were clearing trails or something, and my brother nicked, he got a thorn. I mean, when you're in the bush, that happens. I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience before. You know, you get those duivelsdoorings, those little monkey doorings, those long ones. I don't know which ones they are. Which ones are those? Kameel doorings. Sorry. Go through all the different animals. But you know, another friend of mine, this is another story. He's got one of those. We were horse riding. I used to horse ride. And he was charging on this horse. He had this crazy horse called Lisa. We were doing cross country. Sorry, I'm going off. Not that Lisa. I'm going a little bit off. Stick with me, guys. Stick with me. These two stories are going to come together. You're going to love it. And and he's charging down to this horse, and he didn't even realize it, but he was going so fast and so much adrenaline, he got a thorn straight into his leg, but he couldn't see it. It was like this deep into his leg. And he just saw this tiny little black dot, like in his shin, right next to his shin bone. I remember him like getting off the horse and he goes, yes, I got a thorn in my leg. Well, I looked and I was like, no, man. And it was this tiny little black dot. And eventually we got a hold of this thorn and we pulled this thing out. I was like, it just didn't stop coming. Anyway, so you know those thorns. Anyway, my brother got one of those thorns. Anyway, went home and I don't even think he realizes. Do you know what it's like sometimes? You don't realize there's a thorn stuck in you. And obviously, he realized there was a thorn stuck in him and started digging at it, you know, like we all do. It was just me. Sea urchins and thorns, they're great. Take a needle and dig them out. And anyway, so he digs out this thorn and doesn't think much of it. Kind of carries on. All of a sudden, he starts, this wound obviously gets a little bit infected by this needle that he was cleaning it with and starts to go a little bit red. A little bit painful, you know, and his hand, there was a cut on his hand as well, starts to go a little bit red and gets a little bit inflamed and starts to become painful. Now, what he didn't realize is obviously you realize it afterwards, he'd used a dirty needle, my brother, to dig that thorn out, and he had had a cut on his hand, and the bacteria from that needle had also got infected into his hand. But he had no idea. So a couple of days go by, and this infection just starts getting worse and worse and worse. He starts feeling bad, starts feeling, and I think it's called a staph infection. Am I right, doctors? And so what happens is this thing gets infected, and you begin to see these red lines begin to run up his arm. So now it's like getting bad. I don't know if you guys have seen that. And it goes black. When it goes black, it's really bad. And then it starts to become flesh eating. Am I right? Yeah. Sorry. We've had a couple of medical weeks. Hey, leprosy, infections. The Bible tells us we're a body, right? We need to be looking to these things. There's a lot in it. Anyway, so obviously, this infection begins to spread. So he gets hold of a friend of his and says, hey, there's like, went and showed her. And she's like, you need to get to hospital. Like, ASAP. You could die. Like, let alone lose your arm, you could die. Went to hospital. I mean, this is just a little thorn. He's been scratching this thing out. Ends up spending 2 nights in hospital on an antibiotic drip because the infection had already set in, and it was quite bad. A seemingly small little thorn, while he was trying to get it out, turned into chaos. And he had to spend a couple of nights in hospital, and it almost killed him. Hectic, eh? Why am I telling you that story? I just liked it. No jokes. But the what I'm trying to tell you guys is that something unkept or unchecked can lead to death. It's very dangerous. Proverbs 4:23, I love the NLT version, says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The NIV version, I didn't give you this, says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The ESV says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows springs of life. Proverbs tells us to guard our heart, right? Now, another word that I like to maybe use here, because when he talks about guarding our heart, we think, you know, we've got to protect it. We've got to stop anything from getting to it. But a great word here, actually, and what he's telling us to do in this would actually be to steward your heart. And the word steward is, if you don't know what it means to responsibly manage, care for, or oversee, often with a focus on its long-term well-being and sustainability. It implies a duty of care and commitment to the proper handling and conservation of resources. That's quite a long thing, but that's what stewarding is. So the title of what I want to share with you tonight is Stewarding Your Heart. And Proverbs tells us, guard your heart, steward your heart, protect your heart, for it is springs of life will flow from it. So why is this so important? Why? But it determines the course of our life, right? Luke 6 verse 45 says this: a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Matthew 12, verse 34, right at the end, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says this. Is it Matthew 12? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. It's a big deal, right? That's why we got to guard our heart. Because whatever's in here is going to come out. And if this is unkept and left unchecked, it can kill you. I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually, which has far wider-reaching consequences, right? Therefore, the writer of Hebrews, I love this scripture, tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 15, it says this: look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. You need me to read that again? Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Guys, the seed of bitterness will grow in you and ultimately kill you. And not just you, it'll affect many around you. You know, the heart is fertile soil. Do you know that? It's fertile ground. Whatever you plant in your heart is going to grow. You know that? So if you plant bitterness, bitterness is going to grow into a tree. And that tree, when it's fully grown, is also going to bear fruit. You know, in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We get the fruits of the flesh, and we've got the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, but it's the works or the acts of the flesh, which it was pretty much the fruits of the flesh. And we get the fruits of the Spirit, right? We know what the fruits of the Spirit are: love, patience, peace, kindness, joy, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But what are the acts of the flesh? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. I warn you, as I did before, This is in Galatians, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So they have let a seed grow up from their heart, and they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what they're warned about here. But it didn't start there. It doesn't start there. These things never start there. They start in the heart. That's precisely why Jesus on the Mount teaches into matters of the heart. He says, he takes the law and he says, if you've told your brother you hate him, or don't call another an idiot, because it's the same as murder. If you've lusted after a woman, it's the same as adultery. He's going straight for the root of the thing. He's going straight for the core, the heart. Eventually, those things left unchecked, if the heart left unchecked, are going to produce that fruit. So these things don't just start there. People don't just walk out and murder people. They don't just go around having affairs and getting involved in adultery. It doesn't just happen. It starts somewhere. And he's warning us. It says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And if you don't guard your heart, that is the outcome. That's the end of that road. And if you're gone down that road and that's the fruit in your life, unfortunately, the kingdom of heaven is not yours. That's what the Bible says. So look after each other. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Look after each other. What is Jesus' word? I love it. Look after each other. The NIV says, or see to it that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So there's two things. There is a responsibility towards each other, and there's a responsibility towards yourself. From that little portion of Scripture, what can we learn? The first responsibility in it is towards each other. That we've got to see to it, and we've got to help each other find the grace of God. What does that look like? And we're going to talk about that just now. The other, second point, the personal responsibility, is that we guard our hearts and don't let the seed of bitterness grow up, corrupting many. In other words, guard your hearts and show grace to one another. So how do we help people find God's grace? By loving them like he loves us, right? By helping them. By showing his grace to them in these situations and in these times. You may be asking the question, how on earth though, do I guard my heart? We're talking about it, and you're saying that, Ross, you've said that a lot of times now, but how? How do I do that, right? And Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So how, if we read that scripture, how? By trusting God. We've got to trust Him. We have to trust Him with the situations that we face. We've got to trust Him when people hurt us, when people betray us, when people cut us. We've got to trust Him in these situations. We've got to trust Him that He's in control. And when we look to Him, His peace, that doesn't make any sense, I'm translating what it transcends all understanding, makes no sense, right? Transcend all understanding means makes no sense to the world, will be upon you. Why? Because you've got a hope that is not pegged in this world, that's not pegged in the way people respond to you, that's not pegged in the way people talk to you, that's not pegged in the way that people love you, but ultimately is pegged in the fact that He loves you and you've got a good Father in heaven. And when that is your foundation, when that is your hope, when that is your rock, it doesn't make sense to everyone else because they're getting wobbled by everything that happens in their lives. But put your feet on solid ground, man. Solid ground. We've got to know that God has the situation under control. And maybe making it a little bit more practical to us. So the last couple of weeks, over the last few months, we've spoken about speaking the truth in love, right? How to do it, how to actively disciple each other, how to be involved in each other's lives. But this, if it's not undergirded in this, in the grace of God, those things actually become dangerous weapons. If a tool of being able of speaking to somebody's life is in your hand and you're not doing it with love and grace, showing help one another to receive the grace of God, if you're not helping people receive the grace of God, you actually could be hurting them. So it's important for us to actually be able to balance these things well. So I'm balancing us. We're giving us some tools, and then I'm pulling us back in a sense and balancing us and pulling the tensions tight between those lines, because we've got to hold these things in tension, right? We can't just go around with a machine gun, right? But we've got to trust God. So when we speak to people and when we speak into people's lives and when we address people and we approach people and things, we need to make sure that our hearts, our own hearts, are settled first. Most important thing. If you ever go and speak to somebody and your foundation is frustration or even their correction, and I hear when I say this, because yes, we need to correct, approve, and rebuke at times, but when your heart is for them to change or do something different, it's not necessarily based in love. You've got to do it out of a place of love, because of concern for them, not because it's affecting you. Right? Because if it's affecting you, God's given you enough grace to actually deal with it and get over it. I'm being serious. Right? Because Jesus dealt with it. He went to the cross. So he gives us that grace, and we actually should be able to carry things. When people say things that we don't really like or do things that irritate us, or we should be able to carry it. But the time we start to speak to them is when they are in danger of actually going off or hurting themselves. So there may be times where actually you've got to pull back and you've got to trust God that he's working things out in their lives. And maybe I'll give you a personal story about that in my own life. I had a good friend of mine, he shall remain nameless, that we were on eldership team together. And this man is incredibly gifted, he's an incredibly gifted guy, and he's strong in the word, and he's passionate, man. He's passionate, he's a strong leader. And when we used to have conversations, he would come in quite hot. You know what that means? You know? You've got somebody in your life that comes in hot, and you just want to take a step back and go, chill out. Right? See, this guy would come in hot. Like, doesn't matter what the situation is. If he's got conviction and passion about this thing, he's like a bomber. Right? And often, like, if I didn't guard my heart in those situations and times, I could actually take offense to what he was saying. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was just his opinion. And we wrestled. We were on team together for a long time. We've been friends for many years together. And there were times when he came in so hot that I could have taken serious offense. But I had somehow managed to navigate my heart in this and see the gift that he was within the body and the grace that was upon his life. And I was able to actually receive what he was saying. Didn't always agree with it, but I didn't always have to correct him in it. I just took a step back and said, well, okay, that's cool. Carried on loving him. Didn't let it personally affect me. It could have. I mean, some of the things he said could have really hurt me. But I saw beyond that. I saw him in his heated excitement coming in hot. And I was able to put him in the box and go, you're coming in hot, bro. Take a step back and just let him blow off his steam. And I mean, listen, he wasn't doing things, he wasn't sinning, but he was just, there was the way he was coming in, right? We all know, you know what I'm talking about. You've all got people like that in your lives. But if I hadn't guarded my heart, in those times, I could have got seriously hurt. And I could have allowed a seed of bitterness to be planted in my heart. And if that seed of bitterness had begun to grow in my heart, it ultimately could have led to my, first of all, my separation from him. Eventually, the Bible says we live in the light as he in the light, we true fellowship with one another. So that begins to break, and I eventually get separated from all of you, possibly. That's the nature of that unkept heart leading to death. It's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. A little nick or a little thorn can cause devastation down the line. And Paul knows this when he writes to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 4. And last week, I actually touched on this scripture. Just after worship, I used the scripture, and I told you I was going to preach about it this week. And let's read what it says from verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And he's speaking to the Ephesian church, but his words are echoing through time. He's talking to you guys. You have been called by God. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you have been called by God. Even if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, he's calling you. Tonight he's calling you. And it's going to be an opportunity for you later to go, actually, I want to belong to him. I want to surrender my life to him. But you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Always. Always be humble and gentle. It's difficult, eh? Be patient. With each other. Making allowance for each other's faults. Because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. Because if you allow this in, you're not going to be together. It's going to break unity, you know that. If you allow that seed of bitterness into your heart to begin to grow, it's going to destroy unity. And what does God say about unity? Well, this unity commands a blessing. He, living stones, was that the second word, eh? You're talking about stones. Sorry, I got distracted. I didn't hear the second part. But living stones being built together, if you don't allow them to build you together and you allow division to come in between us, it's going to break what he's building. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. It's a cool scripture, eh? Paul knows that our love for one another and the unity of the body is vital for our own good health and growth in the Lord, as well as the reflection of God's kingdom on earth. So what Paul is saying here is this. This is a big deal, guys. This is what he's saying. This is Paul speaking now. Pretend I'm Paul. Guys, this is a big deal. You've been called by God for a holy task. Make every effort to fulfill what he has called you to. That's the what, right? And you will do this by pursuing love and unity amongst each other, which is only possible by being humble, gentle, and patient with each other and making allowance for one another's faults. That's the how. Why? Because this is how you reflect the kingdom of heaven on earth. Power pack punch, man. It's like in those few scriptures, it's like, guys, wake up. You've been called to so much more. You've been called to God. He's enabled you through his grace. This is how I want you to live, and this is why you're going to do it. If we lose sight of that, we're dead in the water. So I want to, if you forget everything I've said tonight, Just listen to this. We cannot love one another if we do not show grace to one another. And we cannot show grace to one another if we are not prepared to forgive one another. End of story. We cannot love one another if we do not show grace to one another, and we cannot show grace to one another if we cannot forgive one another. Therefore, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Amen.